Hello, everyone. Hello, loved ones. Welcome to Infinite Love Radio, enlightening conversations, inspiring guests. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host, an intuitive spiritual healer, teacher, and spiritual director and founder of Spirituality Inside and Out. Our global vision and divine purpose is to connect people to people to create oneness, for in truth, we are all one. Through support and universal guidance, we educate people about the power within to heal oneself and others. Let us help you to express the divine love and truth within. At SpiritualityInsideAndOut.com, we offer several products and services designed to transform your life and help you create the life you desire. Some of them include group meditations, self-realization sessions, spiritual guidance, prayer circles, personal healing sessions, and guided meditation CDs. The healing power is within you. All you have to do is open up to receive it. Expect the unexpected. Visit www.spiritualityinsideandout.com. And as always, I invite you to email me with any questions, suggestions, and comments to infinitelove@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. Today and every day, my highest intention is to support you to awaken to your true self in the present moment and to cause and create oneness inside and out. Thank you for your participation and this opportunity for me to serve you. I love you and I bless you. On today's show, I'll be sharing with you a prayer just like always, followed by our very special, inspiring guest. Our guest today is Glenn Francis. He's an author and spiritual teacher. Glenn is a spiritual teacher in the human domain. This is the outcome of a whole lifetime living around the greatest enlightened teachers such as Osho, deeply exploring numerous healing traditions, amongst them shamanic bodywork and depth psychotherapy, and passionate engagement in the questions, how can we really and truly heal, and how is authentic maturity attained? His work in the practice of emotional body enlightenment, or EBE, offers this new possibility that the attainment of emotional maturity in the human domain is the opening of a doorway to both sagely at oneness and saintly surrender to the grace of Maker. We will hear all about EBE a little bit later in the show. For more information on Glenn, please visit www.heartofthehuman.com. But for now, I invite you, all of you beautiful people, to get into the now, to get present with me, with our guest, with yourself, with a big smile on your face and a relaxed shoulder and neck right where you are. I invite you to attune to yourself in the present moment. I invite you to attune to your body, to your mind, to your soul, right where you are, right where I am, right where our guest is. For in truth, we're all one. And now I invite you to take a few deep cleansing breaths with me to relax, to let go of the tension, to be loving and kind to yourself now. Here we go. Take a deep cleansing breath in. And exhale with an ah. I always invite you to exhale with an ah, releasing any energy, stored energy, unwanted energy in your throat chakra. Let it go and ah, out. Excellent. Here we go. Another deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhaling with an ah, relaxing from head to toe, consciously willing yourself to relax, saying, I let go of tension. I let go of tension. I let go of tension. Say to yourself, I let go of control right now as you let go of the tension you're holding from your head down all the way down to your toes and from your toes all the way up to your head. I let go of control. Here we go. Take another deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhaling with an ah. Relaxing your mind, relaxing your brain, relaxing your jaws, relaxing your chest and your lungs and your abdomen and your spine and your hips and your legs all the way down to your toes and from your shoulders all the way down to your arms and your fingertips, allowing yourself to be present and relaxed with a smile on your face. As we smile at the world today and every day, saying, yes, world, yes, life, yes, existence, yes, sunshine, yes, blessings, yes, the grace of all goodness, yes, to God, the divine, the higher power, the source, the spirit of all good, the spirit of all existence, or whatever name you have for your faith, we say yes to it right here, right now, as we choose the oneness. Inside and out. As we choose the oneness, we open up our hearts. We truly awaken to our true selves. We are worthy and deserving beings of the light. We are worthy and deserving beings of love. We are worthy and deserving beings of truth. And we are worthy and deserving of the healing power within us as we awaken to it in this moment, in this show, and eternally, every day and every moment here in this journey, in this lifetime and beyond. Always, every day, with gratitude and appreciation to God, the divine, the source of all blessings, all grace, all connections, all beauty, all healing, all inspirations, and the light of the universe. We are so grateful to be who we are, right where we are, unifying on this air. We are so grateful for every blessing, every single person and opportunity, and the endless possibilities. We are truly grateful, and we are open and receptive to receiving and giving, letting it flow through us onto others, so that the light of the universe may expand, so that all may rejoice in the union while here on the planet Earth. From what I know, as it was intended from the beginning. So, in this moment, I say I love you, I appreciate you. I invite you to be good to yourself and be good to your brain as to the messages you give to your brain. I invite you to be good to yourselves as to the messages you give to yourselves. I invite you to give positive, energizing, uplifting, life-enhancing thoughts and energies to yourself and let it flow through you onto others. This is my invitation to you. For you, beloved, are beautiful. For you, beloved, are here to experience life to the fullest. I invite you to do so, as I love you. And thank you very much again, once again, for being present with us. As I take this time to briefly reintroduce our guest, Glenn Francis, author, spiritual teacher. He is a magnificent person sharing his time with us, especially with his practice of emotional body enlightenment, EBE, as we will be hearing right here, right now. Welcoming Glenn Francis. Glenn, welcome.
Hi, Michelle. Glad to be
here. Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and sharing your time and your knowledge and your wisdom and your experiences with us. We are grateful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, yes, Glenn, from my understanding, first I'm going to start by you have a talk at the Bodhi Tree Bookstore in Los Angeles in West Hollywood tonight at 7:30, correct?
That's correct.
So I'm giving the word out for anyone that is listening right now. This is a magnificent opportunity for you to experience Glenn firsthand, face-to-face, energy-to-energy, right there on Bodhi Tree.
Thank you.
This is my invitation to all of you. Would you kindly like to share with us what you will be talking about at Bodhi Tree tonight?
Yes, I certainly would. And perhaps I should say from the beginning that emotional body enlightenment, or EBE, is very personal for me. So perhaps a segue into talking about it might be just to say a little bit about my own background with it. How would that be?
Oh. Please, please. Just before you go on, excuse me, Glenn. I'm just going to mention to the listeners that this is today is Friday, August 22nd.
Yes.
For anyone that may be listening later on to the podcast and next week on webtalkradio.net, today is August 22nd, Friday 22nd, and the talk will be tonight. So I just want to put that out there.
Thank
you, Glenn.
Good.
Please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I consider myself somebody who's really been around the block as a spiritual seeker. I was interested in healing, awakening, spirituality, psychology from pretty much my earliest years. I was a Zen student in my teens, a Zen Buddhist student. I went here and there in the world to study with enlightened teachers, to work with various emotional healing practices. I've had a long-term meditation practice. And when I look at the range of things I've done, it feels like I've pretty much covered the full gamut of what's possible in the fields of healing, emotional exploration, psychological and psychotherapeutic exploration, and spirituality. And a couple of years ago, I came across something that just brought a full stop to my process.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really valuable full stop. It was as if I'd been trying and trying and trying something that really wasn't working very well. And when I say trying and trying and trying, it was that I'd been trying to heal emotional wounds using spirituality.
Is that what you said?
Say that again.
Through spirituality?
Through spirituality.
Okay. Yes.
I'd probably have gone on trying to do that, except that I came across emotional body enlightenment, which I'll just keep shortening it to EBE for now.
Okay.
I came across it, and I came across the fundamental paradigm shift it offers, which is that human beings are actually primarily emotional beings.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we are emotional beings after the mental operations that kick up emotions. It's that emotions are primary.
Yes.
We are born as emotional beings. And in the beginning, it just seems like, yes, well, we could easily accept that, or perhaps that may seem like part and parcel of what many healing possibilities, healing ways, and schools of thought are saying. But really, when you start to go into it, that we are really fundamentally human beings, a lot of consequences emerge that just are very powerful and very significant.
Mm-hmm.
I'll mention one of them.
Yes.
Which is that if we are fundamentally emotional creatures, then perhaps what children need is very different than anything that's been proposed before. Perhaps what children need is to feel their caregivers feeling what they're feeling as they feel it.
Okay, wait, listen. Feeling their caregivers, like my daughter feeling me?
Yes.
Feeling my emotions?
She's actually feeling you, Michelle, feeling her.
Okay, okay.
Okay?
Okay, let's get clear. Okay.
That's a kind of resonant interaction that's quite rare in my experience. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but as a consistent channel of contact, of communion, of open resonance between a parent and a child, that's fairly rare. For your daughter to feel you, feeling what she's feeling as she feels it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a couple of ways you might take that information in. One of them is to try and crunch it in your mind. Another is to feel what that's like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this
yes, I almost went into my mind.
Yeah,
my magnificent
easy, isn't it?
Mind.
Yeah. It's easy to go into the mind with that.
Yes. So your suggestion to the listeners as they're listening to you right now is for them to feel what you're saying?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's a challenge, I know. It's a challenge. Myself, I really don't know how to tell what's truthful for me, other than to sense the resonance of it inside myself.
Right.
So if this statement, this conceptually rather strange statement about what children need resonates for you, please follow that thread. That's a thread in your heart. That's a thread to me in your deeper being, saying there's something truthful here.
Okay. So, Glenn, let me just get this right. So, for example, sometimes I sit in meditation and I'm meditating on having compassion for the other person. While I'm doing this, I'm feeling them. I'm feeling where they are, what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really get where they are. And then from there, I'm able to help them in a more honest way, authentic way. Is this what you're talking about? Is what I'm doing what you're talking about?
It might be, Michelle.
Okay.
It might be. And I'm not,
okay.
I can't make a clear discernment about that.
Okay.
Because there's no doubt about it, but that people have different capacities to feel other people.
Yes.
I do know when I first met my own EBE facilitator, the person who's worked with me in my EBE process, that the way in which she felt what I was feeling was so striking to me. Sort of blew me away, actually, because I'd never met that before in a consistent way. I do think that many counselors, ministers, teachers, psychotherapists use this capacity, but there's a difference between using it briefly and not quite knowing how to use it consistently and deeply.
Okay. This is fascinating.
Yeah, it's a different interface, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it may be that you are empathizing with the person, which would be a different quality than what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm not dismissing it or disparaging it. I'm just saying it's different.
Oh, I'm totally open to learning.
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's a great question because what's the meaning of feeling felt? And what's it like? Here's a really important question for me. What's it like for a child who has entered the world as a purely emotional being to encounter parents who are no longer mostly that? Because all of us have acquired a whole lot of defendedness to cope with life's traumas and wounds.
Yes.
So when a child who's nothing but emotional openness meets caregivers or parents who are not that, it seems entirely possible to me that that would be a profoundly disturbing and difficult experience.
Oh, definitely. Mm. Yes, caregivers that are not attuned to the child's emotional state and needs and wants, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
But let's take that also a step deeper. Attuned in this particular way of having such an open heart capacity that they can feel what the child is feeling. And not only that, but the child can feel them feeling what they're feeling.
Wow, it's the oneness.
It is, at some level, it's the oneness.
The oneness.
At some level, it's the oneness. And there's a risk if we just make those two the equivalent. Here's the risk, Michelle, from my perspective.
Yes, yes.
Is that people can experience oneness, but they can experience oneness without healing some of the emotional wounds that get in the way of this capacity to feel another's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to keep taking deep breaths because EBE is a conceptually complex system. It's based in a very simple observation. Let me just tell you a little bit of background about it. EBE came from the experience of one man, Daniel Baron, who woke up in the Zen tradition. His teacher said, "You are awake as far as Zen is concerned," and Zen is a very rigorous path, so when a teacher confers transmission on a student and says, "You can go out and teach," it really means something in Zen. So Daniel woke up. He was given transmission by his teacher. His teacher said, "You can go out and teach." He went away, and then he came back to his teacher, and he said, "I know something profound has happened, something that can never shift back. However, I'm really troubled by the fact that there's many aspects of my life that have not shifted. I'm still in difficulty in relationships. I still have challenges with power, sexuality, money. Can you help me with this?" And his teacher said, "As far as I'm concerned, and as far as Zen is concerned, we've gone as far as we can go. You're going to have to sort this out for yourself." So Daniel actually turned back from being an enlightened teacher and said, "In all integrity, I have to figure out what's going on here. I have to sort this out." He then started to notice all the places in himself that were emotionally congested, where these difficulties were coming from. And they were coming, Michelle, from the lower three chakras.
Emotionally congested.
Yes.
Okay, it's key words here.
Yes.
Key words here. All the listeners, emotionally congested. Key words
yes.
here. Okay?
Yes. Thank you for picking that up.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's my job to bring it up.
Yeah, and I hope you'll keep on commenting important points, because I, of course, get carried away by my narrative and my passion for this.
Oh, I get your passion, totally, totally. Hmm. But I really want the listeners to really get the core of your teachings and EBE on this show. So if you don't mind, please, let me just have this opportunity to reintroduce you and the guest and the show, please. And then we move on.
Sure.
So this is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morabati, your host, you beloved listeners. The world of spirituality is realizing your true self as a beautiful, intelligent, and powerful spiritual being living in this physical world. I invite you to start each day with a message of love and insight by subscribing to the Daily Universal Insights at spiritualityinsideandout.com. Each day you'll receive a unique message for you to meditate on, pray with, and expand your awareness and connection to your true self inside and out. Dear beloved, there is no fee for this service, as we're grateful for the opportunity to serve you. Let us all open up our eyes and hearts to experience all that there is, especially in these hard times. Visit www.spiritualityinsideandout.com. It's all one word, to subscribe. So, dear beloved, as you've been listening, we've been speaking to Glenn Francis, whose practice is the emotional body enlightenment that he's sharing with us. His own experience and just bringing more awareness to us. And his website is www.heartofthehuman.com. Thank you. Glenn?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So we're talking about emotionally congested was the key word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was saying that it's possible for somebody to experience oneness and to have a great deal of emotional congestion.
Okay, yes, yes.
And that's not said to disparage anybody's experience or dismiss it, but to acknowledge that there may be something that has a whole other depth and dimensionality to it, which would be an experience akin to oneness with all that emotional congestion healed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I might even propose the possibility that this hasn't yet happened on the planet.
Oh, it's never happened on the planet?
I hold that as a possibility. Here's how I hold it like that, Michelle, because if you look at the world of spirituality, particularly you look at the world of great spiritual attainment, you have to wonder, I have certainly wondered, how come this such extensive mischief among enlightened teachers? Why is it that enlightened teachers, being in inappropriate relationships with their students, or being in inappropriate relationship with money or with power, is so common?
Mm-hmm.
Could it be that it is, as Daniel Baron noticed in his awakening, that it is possible to have a profound awakening and for a great deal of emotional confusion, wounding, to be unhealed. In other words, to have what in EBE is called the strategic self awaken.
Yes.
Yes, please.
I'm sorry. So going back, you were talking about, I just want to interconnect everything that you're saying. So the three lower chakras are emotionally congested. Those are the chakras that need to be cleared and opened?
Yes. And when I say cleared or opened, I mean something a little different than you might mean, for example, in Kundalini yoga or various energetic approaches to that. What if that clearing and opening is actually of an emotional nature?
Yes, yes.
That's a very different invitation.
Yes. Okay. And the three lower chakras being the base, the sexual, and the solar plexus.
Uh-huh.
Those three? Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
again,
red,
in my own experience, that's just when I was first invited to notice the degree of congestion below my heart, even though I'd been in some kind of healing work for decades, my first reaction was, oh, that's possible energetically, but emotionally? Oh, you're asking big stuff here.
Yes. But doesn't emotional congestion cause energetic congestion?
I absolutely think that's right.
Yes, yes, because this is what I experienced from my own lupus.
Yes.
So because I was holding a lot of energy, blocked energy, and I wasn't aware of these energies that I was holding on to. So are you talking about... See, I'm asking so many questions because we really want to get clear. This is very
totally
fascinating.
Good.
So you mean like emotions such as anger and hate and rage and shame and all of this we're holding on to our three bottom chakras?
I love your questions, and I hope you'll forgive me if I take a bit of time to answer them because...
I forgive you.
every single aspect of EB brings in novel qualities. I'll start by answering that the best answer I can give is the title of Daniel's book, which is called There's No Such Thing as a Negative Emotion.
Okay.
Now, that's a statement in itself. The reality of these emotionally congested places in the bottom three chakras is that they are typically what we've always tried to get rid of. As human beings, as a species, we've tried to get rid of. Individually, we're often trying to get rid of them by going up and out into our mental bodies rather than down and in, because there's such a strong tendency in us to not want these powerful feelings. but Michelle, what if these powerful feelings are generated by the experience of arriving as an emotionally porous, wide-open being and discovering yourself living amongst human beings who are defended and protected and mostly rather closed off?
Mm-hmm.
Then these powerful experiences of wounding would not be negative. They'd just be natural. They'd be natural reactions. They'd be actually the difficulty to digest the natural reactions that come when you arrive here wide open and the planet's not wide open. The planet's peopled by human beings who have had to absent themselves from those lower three places.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you've got a question.
Yes, I always have questions.
Uh-huh.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
So when a person goes through EBE, does this mean that they can be enlightened in this lifetime on this planet when they cleanse themselves through EBE, emotional body enlightenment?
I'm a work in progress.
Because it's the fad these days.
Mm-hmm.
People are looking to be enlightened.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Right?
Yes. And there's a great many people who are saying they're enlightened, perhaps even a great many people who have experienced something like enlightenment. And what if that actually hasn't, by and large, penetrated into these lower three places? What if that actually isn't so much a coming to land fully as an escape, as an up and out movement?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't answer you definitively for myself, Michelle. I'm definitely a work in progress. I don't think of what's happened for me since I met EB as emotional body enlightenment. I know something profoundly healing has started to happen deep in my
body.
For
you?
Yes.
For you since you started. Okay.
Yes.
Since you started 2 years ago.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you tell us,
way,
in what way? Like, what has changed in your life, or what has transformed, awakened, whatever?
Well, if I speak the surface of it, I'll say that I left a relationship that was 10 years long and had not been healthy for quite a while.
Okay.
But I didn't have the courage to leave it until I started to really feel it.
Okay.
And I left work that earned me a great deal of money. And I knew at some difficult to define level of myself, this was out of integrity. It was healing work. It was good work. And yet, there was something not right about it. And in the course of the last 2 years, I've stopped it. So those are fairly major shifts.
Absolutely.
Those are shifts on the surface of a life. In terms of my experience of myself, I wouldn't be having this conversation with you, nor giving this talk at Bodhi Tree tonight about EB, unless there had been some really clear openings inside my body, a sense of embodying my own life in a much deeper way than I ever could before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you won the lottery ticket also, the lottery for 10 million?
Well, that would solve the difficulty.
Everybody's getting to EBE. It's going to make me a millionaire. No, we're just kidding.
Well, that would solve the difficulties generated by leaving my well-paying job, Michelle.
So all this cleansing will create the space for you to attract all that money. I see it. I see it through my third eye.
Well, thank you for your
affirmation. I'm very silly. I'm sorry?
Thank you for your affirmation. And as you always say, we'll expect the unexpected.
We expect the unexpected. So if someone's listening, the listener out there is saying, so is EBE, emotional body enlightenment, is it for everyone? Is it for everyone? Is it for anyone? Okay, no.
It is for anyone. It's not for everyone.
Okay.
I would say that somebody is going to be interested in EBE if they've done quite a lot of healing work, quite a lot of spiritual, psychological, emotional exploration, and find themselves frustrated,
mm-hmm.
find themselves at a dead end, even maybe find themselves, quotes, enlightened,
mm-hmm.
and still in distress, still struggling with the issues that perhaps come from these places of emotional congestion that just are off the radar, Michelle. They really are off the radar of almost every healing approach I've ever come across.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So what is a person to expect in a session?
So EB...
Expect the unexpected? No, not really.
Well, yes, but more specifically, there's a very precise map of the emotional body in EBE. It's a map generated in what happens as a child experiences those early, the early despair of finding themselves emotionally open in a world that's defended. And that mm-hmm. architectural map that EBE has is very specific. It has a particular picture of how subpersonalities evolve to protect this early core wound. So a session would, at least initially in EB, would involve beginning to work with these subpersonalities, and they are a different range of subpersonalities than in any other system. They're the subpersonalities, and this is going to sound a little strange, but bear with me. The subpersonalities of hurt, anxiety, control, rage, shame, and depression.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of those is a distinct subpersonality. You can feel it when you start to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of those subpersonalities has got something to say, has got important things to share with the person who carries them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beginning of the work, is beginning to form relationships with those subpersonalities. And they're not mental subpersonalities, they're emotional.
Building relationships.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. And let me just take this opportunity, Glenn, to reintroduce this show to anyone that may have just joined us. This is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host. We've been speaking to Glenn Francis, who's an author and spiritual teacher, and he's been talking about emotional body enlightenment, or EBE. And for more information, you can please visit www.heartofthehumane.com. And if you're in Los Angeles and you're free, he's having a talk tonight at the Bodhi Tree Bookstore in West Hollywood and Melrose at 7:30. I invite you to go there and just experience him and his sharings and his experience head-on, energy to energy, personal to personal. Fantastic. So you're talking about building relationships with our, what was the word I used?
Well, I used the word subpersonalities, which is a long word for the parts of ourselves.
Subpersonalities. Wow. So many words for so many parts.
Yes, yes. Sub, you know, parts work or subpersonality work is, it's been around for, it's been common for 30 years. It's perhaps one of the most dynamic parts of psychotherapy.
Yes, I was going to say this.
Yeah.
It's psychotherapy language.
Uh-huh. It's psychotherapy language. Yet it's different, because I have a lot of experience in this domain of subpersonality work and of psychotherapy with parts. The difference here is that these are emotional parts.
Okay.
And the way into them, the way into relationship with them, is to feel them.
Yes.
That's a downward trend other than an upward trend. Psychotherapy typically, and again, it's a generic statement, but psychotherapy typically conceptualizes the parts and works through a mental body conception of them.
Mm-hmm.
This EBE feels the parts and enters into relationship with them through feeling them.
Mm-hmm. feels the part and enters into relationship. I love that.
Uh-huh.
It's a very safe space.
Thank you for noticing that. I feel warmed and touched when you notice that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I really got it. That's a safe space.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was never emotionally safe for us as children, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember back to when your daughter was very young, she was a completely authentic being emotionally.
Oh, yes, very open and very authentic. And
yes.
Oh, my God, yes.
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 And
very vulnerable.
Yes, completely vulnerable.
Yes.
So what if emotional body enlightenment really means to have back that kind of transparency again, that kind of capacity to feel a feeling and have it appear on the surface of yourself without this much pause.
Mm. Beautiful. I feel lighter, grand, expanded, alive, more energy, more energy. Wow, that's beautiful. Now, Glenn, for someone that may be asking themselves, is the emotional body and the congestion in the emotional body, is this similar to, or is it the same as to the pain body that Eckhart Tolle is talking about, who's a famous spiritual teacher with his book, The Power of Now? And is it the same or is it similar?
It's a good question, and I'm afraid my answer is it tends to the radical. I met Eckhart early on when he was just teaching to 5 or 10 people in a room, and I gave a lot of attention to his teachings, particularly around the pain body, and explored them as deeply as I could. And I came to the conclusion that is fundamentally an approach through conceptualization, and it doesn't touch the depths of this emotional congestion because it goes in through the mental body. And Eckhart's awakening itself was, it arose in the midst of an emotional agony. He was emotionally agonized, and his awakening was a popping out of that. Into, this is not said to disparage his awakening because he's a profoundly awake human being. And what if the meaning of awakeness requires or asks for a complete overhaul now at this point in human evolution? What if awakening, full awakening, what Daniel Baron calls enheartenment, not enlightenment, but enheartenment, means not only an awakening in the mental body, but also an enlightenment, an awakening in the emotional body. So Eckhart's work is good, and the work with the pain body is good. It doesn't heal the way, in my experience, I can just say, it doesn't heal the way the EBE work does, because it doesn't go in through the emotional body, it goes in through the mental body.
Okay. It goes through the mental body, then to the emotional body.
Well, it touches the emotional body, but the pain body work is much more oriented to sensation, which is a middle ground, and typically a Buddhist middle ground. That's got a quality of being devoid of the personal, Michelle. EBE is a deeply personal system. It says maybe human beings need to land fully in everything we are, all the way down into our bodies. Every bit of wounding, every bit of distress, every bit of trauma needs to get invited here fully. There's no such thing as a negative emotion. As you said earlier, then there's safety.
Yes, feel the parts and enter into relationship with them. I love that. Now, Glenn, how can a person or people get in touch with you for a session or any questions? Is there an email address you can give out to the people?
Well, there's an email contact on my website, which, as you said, is heartofthehuman.com.
Okay.
If you just put emotional body enlightenment into Google, you'll come up with the overarching website, which is theohumanity.org, theohumanity, all one word.
Okay.
And that's the wider, bigger vision in which EBE is contained.
Okay.
Because
now,
Go ahead. No, I prefer your questions.
I have questions popping up left and right.
Yes.
For anyone that may be listening, for themselves or a loved one, they may be asking themselves, I wonder if EBE has helped anyone heal from cancer or diabetes or lupus or MS or Alzheimer's or any diseases of the physical body. Do you know of any cases that EBE has helped them heal from a disease?
I don't actually know of any, Michelle.
Okay.
I do know that a couple of months ago I spoke to a young man. He's 21 now, and he told me about how when he was 14, his mother kept taking him from psychiatrist to doctors to psychotherapists, one after another after another. He was anxious, hugely overweight, very depressed, failing in school. And he met Daniel, the person who is this original source of this work, EBE. And when I talked to him, he said to me that he can hardly believe himself right now what's happened, that he's a normal, very bright, curious young man about to go to college. All the weight has gone, the anxiety's vanished, the depression disappeared. And he said to me, when I asked him what happened, he said to me, all I can say is that it made a miraculous difference to feel felt.
Mm.
To have Daniel feel me. To feel Daniel feeling me. So there's an interface there, a way that human beings can resonate with one another that to me has got probably healing possibilities without limit.
Yes.
I know of some minor healings in my own body. They're a bit too personal to go into here, but I do have some instances, mm-hmm. but I don't know of any with those particular major difficulties that you mentioned, Michelle.
Right. You know, from my own healing of lupus, I know that I was holding on to a lot of congested emotions. I'm going to reverse it. And I believe, it's not a believing, it's a knowing, it's my own healing, that when I felt them, as you say it, when I went into them and dealt with them, the congestion opened up and freed, and, you know, one by one, my symptoms just dissipated, one by one from head to toe.
Yes.
So I do believe that this is magnificent work, and yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure,
when you
please
did
do
that, when you felt those feelings, was that an easy process?
Not in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the beginning, and then later on it became easier and easier and easier. That was my experience.
Yes. And what made it difficult in the beginning?
My resistance.
uh-huh.
Yeah, my own resistance. Not knowing what to expect.
Yes.
Not knowing what's going to happen.
Yes.
Also, in my experience, I felt like I wanted to take responsibility, so taking responsibility was a little hard in the beginning, and then I really enjoyed and loved taking responsibility. I do every day. I just love taking responsibility.
Yes.
So
yes. When you say these things, I just, of course, it brings up echoes about EBE to me, one of which is that when there's a way of meeting these feelings, For me, those feelings are held by parts of ourselves. When there's actually a way of meeting them, it makes a profound difference to how we experience resistance. For example, if resistance is something else that's held by a defensive part of us, then it makes a big difference to notice that. Sometimes those resistances, sometimes they're held in place by, there's some typical ones, the ways that people use tobacco or alcohol or various compulsive forms of behavior, that they keep us numb. They medicate us. And one of the beauties of this architecture that EBE offers is it says that that is a lot of how we keep a strategic self going. The strategic self maintains itself by going on medicating some of these places that hurt, that are wounded, that are congested.
Yes. Wow. Glenn, there's so much to talk about.
Yes.
But unfortunately, our time is like almost up. I really appreciate your time and your sharings. But before we close for today, is there a message that you want to give out to the listeners, to the people?
I think I'd say, Michelle, that there's a whole other possibility. I don't want to say EBE is the only example of it. It's the only example of it I know of. But there's a whole other possibility of healing that involves a distinct primary human emotional body. And it's that you can turn towards, you can feel into, that contains perhaps everything we've been dreaming of in terms of coming to our authentic selves.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Glenn. We appreciate you. And best wishes and blessings to you in this journey, in this lifetime with EBE and everything else that you do, sharing your love and your truth with humanity. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you, Michelle. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you. Blessings to you. And that's Infinite Love Radio for this week, you beloved people. Next week, please join us as our guest is Azim Jamal, who is an international inspirational speaker and the chairman and founder of Corporate Sufi Worldwide, Inc. He's also the author of The Power of Giving. For more information, please visit www.azimjamal.com. As well, we're also going to have Harvey McNeenan, who is a fundraising expert, inspirational speaker, author, and trainer, who has helped raise hundreds of millions of dollars for nonprofits from Amnesty International to UNICEF. He is also the co-author of The Power of Giving. Please join us next week as we will talk with these magnificent beings of light making a difference in this world. For now, beloveds, you have listened to this show. You have learned and gained much. Know your worth. Know the power within you. Know of all the possibilities, the innate possibilities, inside and out, and the offerings, the true offerings that this world has to offer to you as you're open and receptive to receive. I invite you to be open to receive and allow the possibilities to flow onto you, to your family, your loved ones, your friends, and everyone that you meet in this journey, in this lifetime. I love you. For now, I invite you to breathe in infinite love into every cell in your body. Breathe it in and heal with love. And breathe it out and give it to the whole world. For in truth, we're all one. And don't forget to visit my website, www.infiniteloveradio.com, and download free guided meditations and insights. As always, I invite all of your comments, suggestions to Michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com and infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com. Beloveds, this has been Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morvati, your host. Until next week, thank you, blessings, and smile. Good day.